All right, so tell me a little bit first about your background.
Sure. I started in this industry in 911 in 2008 down in Grand Junction. I was hired there. We'd lived in the Roaring Fork Valley for 12 years and had our first son and decided to move back to my hometown of Grand Junction and looking for a stable job and was kind of curious about the industry and being able to help people and really fell in love with it right away. I was promoted to supervisor while I was still in training, but just watching the dispatchers take the calls, come together in emergency situations, you know, they can be sitting there laughing, having a great time, having a funny conversation, and everything stops in a moment, and they're there on it totally efficiently and happily helping people of the community, and that really inspired me.
So you were down there until just a month ago, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's been great. Like I said, I fell in love with it. I had never planned to leave Grand Junction, and a series of events happened real quickly. Ended up becoming the director here, and I couldn't be more pleased.
And you mentioned that one of the big focuses in Grand Junction was being able to hire and retain employees. What was your strategy there?
Sure. It's actually across the country. Dispatch has a real reputation, and deservedly so, of kind of eating our young and making it real hard for new people to come in and learn the industry, because there's really no other career that prepares you for this career. It's a whole different set skill set. In fact, actually, what I'm hoping is this area provides a good pool of dispatchers, because we found that actually waitresses, bartenders, short order cooks really make great dispatchers. Even though they don't have the exact skills, they have the multitasking, they have the short-term memory, customer service, some of the main elements that we really look for in dispatchers.
Yeah, that was kind of my next question is what are the qualities? And so it's being able to multitask.
Absolutely, sure. Multitask, you're dealing with a lot of different systems. We dispatch for 9 different agencies here. You're on the phone, you're giving medical instructions to people at some points, or just gathering information from them. So customer service is big. Customer service is a little bit at odds with the 911 industry, just because our version of customer service is getting the most efficient information as quickly as possible, and sometimes that doesn't coincide with someone having the worst day of their life and in a situation they've never been before. So there's ways that you can train to gather that information efficiently without appearing rude or, you know, upsetting them even more. For example, we teach to try to get the person's name as quickly as possible so you can address them by their name. That does have a calming effect. And it kind of eliminates the what we call the ma'am spiral, where people are just, ma'am, 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 you need to listen to me. And, you know, obviously calling them by their name is much better customer service than that. So you asked about the training, and what we found was really we kind of took a step back, because we were down in Grand Junction almost exactly like we are here. We were about half staff. And we're having trouble retaining people in training. So we took a real hard look at the way we train. I did a lot of research on what's called the growth mindset and kind of adult learning concepts, and really took the large chunk of information that you have to learn to do this job and kind of broke it down into really small elements and really focused on just giving them little bits of information at a time to learn and then kind of building on that foundation. And we were real successful down there, and I'm hoping that we're able to kind of apply those philosophies here and have the same success.
And by kind of doing it piece by piece, is it just make it a little less overwhelming for new hires?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, you sit in here and you see 8 monitors in front of you, and you hear the phone ringing, you hear the radio going all the time, and you're like, there is no way I could do this. But if you say, okay, look, we're really just going to focus on addressing for this whole week. All we're going to talk about is how to find people and find their location. And then at the end of the week, we do a small assessment, make sure they've got all the skills. If they don't, we just go back and teach them again. If they do, we move them on and add another element to that. So it's really just a building process that falls more in line with a lot of the growth mindset and adult learning concepts.
Would you say that hiring and retaining is one of your guys' biggest obstacles at this time?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have just hired one dispatcher. She started today, but we're still down about six. And out of 14 that we're authorized to hire, that's a pretty significant number. So what I really do want to say is I'm very proud of the foundation. The team that's been here while they were looking for a director has really kept this place together, running on about half staff, and really done some excellent work.
That just means it's a lot more time that they have to spend here than they'd probably like to, or it's just a lot more shifts.
Yes, yeah, that's really what it equates to, is they've covered a lot of hours that are meant to be spread across 14 people, and they're doing it with eight. And they've been doing that for almost a year now. And at the same time, kind of running the show because they didn't have a director for a while. So I'm really proud of the work that they've done.
How long does the training take?
Well, we're not exactly sure. 6 months is what it has taken in the past. I think with some of the new elements and giving people a little bit more time, it might stretch out to 7 or 8 even. But we want to make sure that before we turn over, all the good work that we do to the community, we want to make sure that they're fully prepared and capable of being successful.
And it seems, just based on the photo and being in here a couple times, that it's mostly women dispatchers. Is that a national trend, or is it just unique to here?
I would say it's probably a little bit more nationally. Down in Grand Junction, we had 35 dispatchers, and we had just hired two males that kind of brought us to about 50-50. So here, where right now I'm the only male, it is, I would say, a little bit unique. Males are kind of creeping in to the industry. You know, we really are trying to make this more of a career option for people, and I think they see that the things that we do, given medical instructions, helping people in their worst moments, keeping officers safe, keeping firefighters safe, that's something to be really proud of, and it's very rewarding.
Any other kind of goals or challenges you'd like to speak to besides the hiring and retaining part?
Sure. On the technical side, try not to get too technical here, but one of the last kind of recommendations from the 9/11 committee after 9/11 2001 was to make an entire nation on the same frequency, on the same broadband radio channel. So just this summer, we're one of the last areas in Colorado that hasn't switched to what they call 800 DTR, digital radio system, and we'll be doing that this summer. So that's definitely a huge goal. It brings us in, it allows us to share resources across the state, allows us much clearer and better coverage with the radio, and as the federal recommendation said, it kind of brings us in, so if there's a great huge emergency here, everybody will be able to talk to each other, everybody will have the same kind of communication, and it'll should go a lot smoother.
Has hiring dispatchers always been a national issue, or is it more recent?
No, I would say it has always been a national issue. One of the things that came out of our success in Grand Junction was we got the opportunity to go speak at some national conferences and kind of tell everybody, because everyone's clamoring for a better way to train and a better way to hire, and somehow we hit the magic button, and so we were able to go talk, and I had probably people from 30, 35 different states come up and ask for information on it, ask me questions, tell me that they're really struggling with retaining people. Part of it across the country is pay. Part of it is just the fact that a lot of people don't know exactly what we do as a dispatcher, so nobody really aspires to be that. But once they learn and they get in here, they're like, wow, this is a great career, very rewarding. Some of it is the stress, having to handle people at their worst moments, having to take those calls. Some people are really upset with child calls, some with elderly, some with animals. You just never know how you're going to handle it until you actually get that call. And, you know, that's why we give so much training, not only on the skills, but psychologically, how to deal with some of the bad situations that we hear. And part of it, too, is unlike most first responders, we don't always get the closure. You know, if there's a really bad call, we hang up with the caller and take the next call. And a lot of times we have no idea what happened at the end of that. And so as an industry, we're getting better at preparing our people for that. And our partners in the first response community are getting better about sharing what happened. And that's really helped out. So, yeah, it's been a problem for a long time, but I think we're getting better at handling it and providing people with the best care.